We are joined in the studio by Wynne Vandenbroek, EU Head of Cooperation. Good morning, sir, and welcome to the studio.
Good morning, Irene. Good morning, Radio Mirana. Good morning, South Sudan. Right. Thank you for inviting me.
You're welcome. So what exactly is this multi-annual and indicative program?
Thank you. We in the European Union, we are very proud that now we have the first strategic development plan for South Sudan, which will cover the period 2021 until 2027. Mm-hmm. It's the first one because obviously we have already ongoing funding, but that was not embedded in a real strategic plan for technical and political reasons. That was because South Sudan didn't sign up to the previous financing instrument, an agreement that ruled that. But now Europe has a new financial framework, which is called Global Europe, and that is now the platform to have a new strategic plan with South Sudan. It will not be a grant as usual, because it will be the overarching principle will be policy first, because you cannot have development if you do not connect with the policies of the local government. And that's why we will need to enter into a firm partnership. It will take two to tango, and each one will need to fulfill its commitments. So we will connect with the national development strategy, with the national budget, and things like that. But of course, the proof of the eating will be in the pudding. Some further overarching principles is that we will closely, I'm talking, when we talk about the EU, I'm not talking about the EU delegation, I'm talking about the EU and EU member states. We will closely coordinate with the EU member states, especially Germany, Sweden, the Netherlands and France, who are here. Further overarching principles will be, of course, conflict sensitivity. It's a bit an unfortunate principle, but we have to have it here in South Sudan because there are conflicts. Then the other principle will be that we will address marginalized regions, because too often development only is implemented in hubs of stability. But if you don't go to the marginalized regions, you don't solve the root causes of the problems. Gender equality will be overall a fair principle. Unfortunately, many women in South Sudan are in a very vulnerable situation, and we will have a lot of women empowerment projects. Youth will be very central. You have a young population. Right. The youth is the future of the country. The youth needs to participate in the development of the country, and we will give and help the youth to have a platform in the decision making. Of course, climate change adaptation will be critical. I don't have to explain to South Sudan what climate change implies. It's flooding and things like that, so we need to address this. Also, South Sudan has quite good national parks, Boma Gambela, and biodiversity. If there were no conflicts, I'm sure that there could be ecotourism there, tourism there. And so we will address also these biodiversity. Then finally, of course, we will address displacements situations, because it is South Sudan is affected by I think the world's largest displacement situation. So that is what I have to say as an introduction on the overarching principles.
Thank you so much for that. Just to take you a little bit backwards, you said this is a first strategic EU programming document that has South Sudan since independence. What took you so long?
Well, that is what I have explained in the beginning. It was mainly due to political reasons. The former instrument that ruled the collaboration with Africa, which was called the European Development Fund, there was before the country could enter and have access to these funds, to the European Development Fund, the country should have signed an agreement, which is called the Cotonou Agreement, on several key principles, human rights and things like that. So Sudan didn't do that. So it deprived itself from a strategic approach until now, because now we disconnected the financial strategic plan from any other agreement. Mm-hmm. But that said, it will need a partnership with the government, because otherwise there will be no development.
Right, right. You also spoke about the marginalized areas. Which areas have you mapped out, and how will you be working with them?
We didn't for the moment map out the areas firmly now, because sometimes the situation is quite volatile. So for the moment, we are in negotiation, especially with our multilateral partners, UNMISS, on identifying the key critical areas. And we have already conceived one action on marginalized and conflict areas. That's a cooperation with a trust fund set up in the context of UNMISS, which is called the RSRTF, the Resilience Stability Reconstruction Trust Fund, which actually goes to the marginalized regions. How we will address our cooperation in marginalized regions, that will be in the so-called nexus, because these regions need humanitarian aid, development aid, and peace actions. So we will present a whole package to these marginalized regions.
Uh-huh. Right, I see. Now, in terms of financial support, the EU mentions about an amount of 208 million euros for 2021 and 2024 for that period. How will these funds be used?
Thank you. Yes, indeed, it's 208 million euros, which we will have to contract before 2024. And then there will be a review of the instrument, and then it will be decided how much we will give for the further years. But we will embed our cooperation in three key priority areas. The first one is green and resilient economy, which will have two approaches. First, we will address food security. I must say that in principles there should be no hunger in South Sudan, because the country could be self-reliant. And what impedes development in the agricultural development sector is conflicts. You need to solve conflicts, and then you could see that South Sudan could be self-reliant. Because climate-wise and soil quality, all is there. Okay, there are floodings, but the main problem is food security. The second component in the green and resilient economy will be job creation. Youth need prospects. Many youth have been, sadly, grown up in violence. They see violence as a means of survival. We need to give them another perspective. We need to create jobs. Also,
So how do you intend to do that, if I may jump in?
We will have a specific approach in the context of the agricultural development. We will check and do an analysis where South Sudan has big opportunities, in which value chains in the agricultural development, South Sudan sorghum,
Gum Arabic.
And things like that. So where there are opportunities, and we will try to develop these, and that will be accompanied by professionalization of these value chains, also marketing, we will also try to connect with the commercial banks, because to develop a private sector, the commercial banks, a country cannot eternally rely on grants from donors. Mm-hmm. It needs internal resource mobilization. Commercial banks need, and they have money, they need to give loans to the private sector. And we can help the commercial banks on that by giving guarantees to the banks. If their loan fails, if there is no payback, then the European Commission
can chip in.
Okay. Thank you.
Right.
The second priority area is education and health. And there will be an enormous focus on education, primary education. We have always been a very important partner of with the government on education. I think many will know our prior project Impact, that paid incentives to teachers nationwide from 2017 to 2021. However, we will not have such programs anymore because we will stop substituting the government. It's up to the government to pay the salaries of
the civil servants.
And we need our funding. The European Union will use its funding for actual development. Paying salaries is not development. So we are extremely happy that in the new budget, which is still need to be adopted, that is now in the parliament, TNLA, 16% has been allocated to education. That's good. But we will follow up on the actual disbursement. One thing is to put it in the budget.
And quite
the other thing
to implement it.
To implement it.
Right.
The third priority area that we will have is on governance. And of course, the peace agreement will be at the center this. So there will be a big focus on the rule of law. Mm-hmm. We will have quite a solid contribution to the public finance management reforms because of the obligation of the state to respond with its budget to the needs of the population. Mm. The oil revenues need to go to the budget, not elsewhere. They need to go to the citizens. We will obviously also accompany the country in the constitution-making process. Access to justice will be very important because one of the reasons of conflict is impunity.
Right.
People just continue to commit violence because there is no justice.
Oh, yeah.
And therefore we will have a big focus on justice, and then obviously for the European Union, human rights will be key in our approach on that key priority area.
Thank you. Well, thank you, Wayne, for making our time to come and speak to us. So with this program, what main change does the EU hope to see by 2027?
That's a very good question, and I think we want to see the changes that the South Sudanese want to see. And in the first instance, I think, for a starters, conflicts need to stop. And the country needs to be given to its citizens. It needs to go back to its citizens. And there should be no internal conflicts anymore. South Sudan is a transit country in the Horn of Africa, and it's key to have stability in the country. And it could take the lead in a way in the Horn of Africa. You mm-hmm. see now all the turbulences in the other regions. So let's have South Sudan being an example for the future of for the region, where the youth has opportunities, where there is stability, where there is no hunger, and where the country can become self-reliant. But that said, that is up. The donors can only support. That will be up to the government to walk with us. There is no alternative, because the donors cannot substitute what the government needs to do. There will be need. There is a need for solid policies by the government for the South Sudanese, And if any goodwill in that direction will be supported by us, the right. European Union.
Right. Thank you so much. Any message to our listener before you go?
Especially thank Radio Miraya. The invitation. I must, the listeners must be aware that South Sudan is not forgotten in Europe. Europe cares about South Sudan. We have accompanied the country since independence. I must say that we are sometimes a bit worried about the slow progress. But I've been now 2 years and a half in South Sudan. I see the youth. They are motivated, and there should be always hope. Optimism is a moral duty.
Right. Wyn Vandenbroucke, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you very much.